A Monday warrior, mean, mean strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Okay. Welcome back to Backbone Radio. I'm your host, Ross Kaminsky, joined in studio by Rich Sokol and State Senator Greg Brophy and his much better half, who's sitting here quietly but brightening the room, Angela. And we are very pleased and privileged to be joined on the phone by State Treasurer-elect Walker Stapleton. Congratulations on your election, Walker.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And thanks a lot for taking time out of your Sunday to be with us. Rich Sokol and I happened to be standing about 4 feet from you when you got the news over there at the Republican headquarters, and the high fives all around. That was a great moment for all of us, having been through so few important Republican victories in recent years. So I can't say I was as happy as you were, but I was really happy to be there to celebrate that with you. You know what I want to do is just for a little variety here is maybe hand this conversation over to Greg Brophy as our sort of primary interviewer of you for these few moments. So with that, Greg, take it away.
Well, Walker, right. First I want to say congratulations on a job well done. You knocked off what I think was one of the groomed rising stars of this Democrat Party with your victory by about 40-some thousand votes over Kerry Kennedy on Tuesday night. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Compared to the Senate race, it was a landslide, right?
Compared to the Senate race, it was a landslide, and you know what? They're going to call you something in January that you otherwise wouldn't be called. The
one vote or 40,000 votes, Treasurer Walker Stapleton sounds good to me.
Now, talk to us a little bit about the race. I'm looking through the county by county results here. You won in Adams County by 52-47. Yep, you won in Arapahoe County. And Jefferson
yep.
County, the three counties
absolutely.
That circle the front, the Denver County around here in Colorado. And I got to tell you, as a guy who likes politics, who probably should just get out of the game altogether, but likes to think that he could run for something higher, something in the higher office realm. Tell me how you did that, how you made this victory happen in those important counties.
Well, you know, contrary to the image that was kind of projected upon me by my opponent, she tried to create this image that I was, quote-unquote, buying the race. But actually, when you look at the spending numbers from the race, she outspent us almost 3-1 in the general election. We were still able to win. I think that we really worked hard in Jefferson County. We worked hard in Arapahoe County. We worked hard in Douglas County, El Paso. And we won a lot of those metro counties that I think are crucial for a Republican to win a statewide office. Unfortunately, Ken Buck did not win those same counties. If you look at his vote totals, and unfortunately, he ended up losing the race, which was deeply unfortunate. But what that tells me is that our message really resonated with voters, and it was a message that we need more private sector experience down at the Capitol. We need people with business and finance experience to be making business decisions with all of our collective tax dollars, given the economic uncertainty the state is facing. And that was our central message. That's a message that I carried forward from the primary on. And I think it's a message that the voters of Colorado resonated around. And I think it's going to be critically important to have a statewide elected Republican official hold Governor-elect Hickenlooper in check on taxing and spending legislation. That truly, in my mind, is a responsibility of the treasurer. And I will do that every single day I'm in that office. I will do my best to represent the taxpayers of Colorado. And I think that really when you point out, Greg, the fact that we won those counties was the key to our victory.
You know, it clearly was, and that's what separates winning Republican statewide races from those that come close, but no cigar. So let's talk a little bit about the agenda for Walker Stapleton when you get sworn in come January, and you're watching the budgeting process up at the state capitol. Tell us what your goal is and how you plan to make sure that the first floor isn't completely run by Governor Hickenlooper, and that instead the conservative message will be coming out of your office to counteract what we'll be hearing from a Governor Hickenlooper.
Well, I really want to take a leadership role on taxing and spending legislation. I've already had some great discussions with state representatives and state senators. I had a long discussion yesterday with State Senator-elect Kent Lambert. who was one of the people, as you know, who actually proposed an alternate to Senate Bill 1 to fix PARA. He is very interested in coming up with legislation, further legislation, although I know you're an author of Senate Bill 1, which I believe is an incremental step in the right direction, but he wants to go further, and I think we ultimately need to go further to shore up this unfunded liability from PARA. So I want to work with willing state senators and representatives and really help them craft legislation that we can then take on a statewide basis and put the burden of responsibility on Governor-elect Hickenlooper. Either he's going to be fiscally responsible with taxpayer dollars or he's not. And if he chooses not to be, it's important to have a statewide elected official such as myself to make sure that he is held accountable and make sure people know about it on a statewide basis. And that's really, I think, what the treasurer can be very helpful in doing. I've got a priority for PARA, but I also have a priority in helping state senators such as yourself, and I look forward to working with you, craft legislation that's going to help position us firmly as the party that represents the taxpayers of Colorado during these uncertain economic times.
Hey, Walker, this is Rich Sokol. Again, my congratulations to you, and I'll be pleased to be
Rich,
the first one come January to say congratulations, Treasurer Stapleton. But
My old friend, thank you. You were there from the beginning.
It was my pleasure. But let's talk a little bit about probably the signature piece of legislation that your predecessor, Kerry Kennedy, fought for and got passed in the year 2000 was Amendment 23. Personally, it's something that I think needs to be undone. And as an advocate for the taxpayer, I'd love to see the state treasurer also take a stand on legislation that puts part of our budget on autopilot and has it increase every year. You just talk a little bit about Amendment 23, what you think about it, and what you think the chances are for undoing this.
Absolutely. I came under a lot of fire initially before her ads turned to just simply a personal attack that had nothing to do with the issues of the treasurer's race. But the initial attack ad that they put up against me was that I was somehow for cutting funding to our schools in K-12 education. What people fundamentally need to understand about Amendment 23 is that all of us collectively should be for funding our schools. I have a 2.5-year-old son. I want him to achieve the best in Colorado's school system. But the problem is, if you look at what Amendment 23 has wrought over the last 10 years, our schools haven't improved at all. Fourth and eighth grade reading and math test scores from 2000 to 2010 are exactly the same as they were. Graduation rates have actually gone down. And I tell people anecdotally, if you look at the school system in Washington, D.C., for instance, which has been amongst the top-funded schools on a per-pupil basis, school districts in the entire country, and the lowest in achievement, you can't continuously throw money at a broken system. And that's what we structurally we've done here in Colorado. And the problem is our tax dollars are getting too precious for automatic ratchets. We need to put our public education K-12 system on a level playing field with our higher education system, with our infrastructure needs, with our health services needs, with our corrections needs, and make them prove that they can be accountable and responsible for the budget dollars that we are giving to them. And I absolutely would favor a repeal of Amendment 23, and I hope Senator Brophy and some other senators can craft legislation that really exposes the problem with automatic ratchets, given our budget shortfall in Colorado.
Well, I'm glad that you had, this is Greg again, Walker, and I'm glad that it takes a lot of courage, actually, to say it in the manner that you said it. I asked Treasurer Kennedy on numerous occasions if she was writing Amendment 23 again, would she make an allowance for how 23 works when you go into a recession, because that's when it really kills you. If all you have to
Absolutely.
Do is fund education at inflation plus growth and the economy's growing, that's actually quite easy to do. It's when the economy
Right.
has a hiccup, as it did in 2001, 2002, and 2008 through 2009, what happens effectively is that every other part of the budget gets squeezed by Amendment 23. And she would never
exactly
directly
right.
answer that question, not one time in the multiple times that I've asked her that thing. And that's where we really need to address what Amendment 23 and how it impacts the Colorado state budget, because the plus one goes away this year, as a matter of fact. And so it's left with just inflation plus growth going forward. And we can
exactly.
handle that as a budget line item. What we can't do, though, is allow it to continue to squeeze out funding for higher ed, for instance, because if we neglect that as an important component of the state budget, then we're setting ourselves up for disaster down the road just the same.
Absolutely. And I have a background, as you know, Greg, in economics. I've got a graduate degree in economics, and it's my personal opinion that we may be, I'm in the economic school of thought, that we may be headed for a period of hyperinflation. And even the funding at hyperinflationary levels on an automatic ratchet could create huge budget problems for the state of Colorado. And the goal really here is to have a rational funding basis for our K-12 system and have accountability and responsibility built into our funding mechanism at the state capitol. We don't have that right now, and we really need it should we enter a hyperinflationary period.
Walker Ross Kaminsky here. We got about a minute left. I wanted to ask you one thing that came up during the campaign, and I just wanted to sort of give you a chance to respond. But there was a TV interview that you did with your primary opponent at the time, and right. You had said something about that you're not necessarily against taxing and spending increases, and that bothered me a bit at the time, and I just wanted to know if that was sort of a misstatement or what your position is on that.
No, it wasn't a misstatement, but let me qualify it. I'm the only candidate, and now I'm the only candidate to be elected state treasurer who was opposed to referendum C. So that alone should tell you that I am view myself and have credentials as a fiscal conservative. But I am fundamentally for restoring people's right to vote on taxing and spending increases. That doesn't mean that I will simply rubber stamp or agree with the people's decision, referendum C being a perfect example of that. But who knows? There could be something that makes sense. I think, it's ridiculous that we have basically pushed out more than 200,000 medicinal marijuana cards and haven't figured out a commensurate tax policy for that. We either need to make it illegal or we need to tax it properly. That's just one small example. But
Walker, we have to hit a hard break here. I want to thank you very much for your time. Congratulations again, and I look forward to seeing all the good that you do for fiscal sanity in Colorado. Stay with us right here on Backbone Radio.
Thank you.
Now, back to Backbone Radio.
Welcome back to Backbone Radio. I'm your host, Ross Kaminsky, joined in studio by State Senator Greg Brophy, by Rich Sokol, Joshua Scharf behind the glass. Joshua, sorry you didn't win your election. I suppose it is. Joshua, what percentage of the registered voters in your district are Democrats?
45%, so, and about 47% of the actives. Despite that, we got just under 36% of the vote, which obviously is like a mile and a half from winning the thing. But it's the best that a Republican has done there since we have online records. So in the modern era, we set a modern era record for HD6.
Congratulations for a well-fought race.
That and $5 to get me a cup of coffee. But but it's always nice to feel that you've also contributed somehow to the wins of the other statewide candidates who did win.
Well, and I mean this with absolute sincerity. I do. Anytime someone can make a credible case for Jews voting Republican, I'm serious. That makes me very happy. There should be a lot more Republican Jews.
Yeah, and I'll tell
as
you,
as I sit here with a radio version of a minion,
it's funny that in that particular district, you don't see that very often. The number of times that I got asked almost exclusively by Democrats, well, what's the reception you get when you're walking out there and you have the yarmulke on? Almost always it was the Democrats who asked that. So, and of course, the fact that I was the Republican nominee apparently escaped them. But so you're right. There is probably some benefit to having forward Republican Jews out there.
Absolutely. Well, good job on that. Even though you didn't win, I think you did a great job. So let's see. When we were talking with Walker Stapleton, as Greg mentioned, looking on his new toy here, the iPad, where he has the world at his fingertips in high resolution, he noticed and pointed out in the discussion with Walker Stapleton that Walker won these sort of North Metro, semi-suburban counties that Ken Buck didn't win. And that, of course, those are very heavily populated counties, and clearly the difference between Ken Buck being senator-elect and Howdy Doody being senator-elect. What's your take, Greg, on that stark difference between how one Republican candidate can win those races and another Republican candidate loses them? And And perhaps you might drop in some anecdotal evidence from the silent person sitting in the room with us as to what happened there.
Well, you know, and the anecdotal evidence was I knew that Ken was in trouble when my wife, who is a staunch pro-life, mostly conservative Republican, told me she wasn't going to vote for him one day in the kitchen. It took me about 30 minutes to talk her into voting for him. And I think in part it was because obviously the Democrats spent on an independent side, I think $15 million beating him up and telling everybody what an extremist he is and replaying all of his words out of context in most cases. But they also were replaying many of his gaffes. And so there was this sense that maybe what they were saying about him had a grain of truth, that he wasn't as sensitive to people who don't think like him as what they you know, an unaffiliated person might want, or the quintessential Republican suburban or unaffiliated woman. And that could be what cost him the race. I was just quickly flipping through here, and Ken Buck lost. Now, we already established Walker Stapleton won Adams County, Jefferson County, and Arapahoe County. Not to be sure there wasn't tens of millions of dollars focused on telling everybody about the warts that Walker Stapleton has, but at the same time, there weren't there wasn't the same thing going on with regard to Kerry Kennedy. But Ken Buck loses Arapahoe County, Adams County, Larimer County, and Jefferson County narrowly, and then loses the statewide race by some 15,500 votes. You cannot win in Colorado if you don't win Arapahoe, Jefferson, and Adams County. Or at least that's what recent history shows us. And I got to tell you, one of the other states that we always compare ourselves to here in Colorado politics is the state of Ohio, another purple state. You know, goes blue, goes red all over the map. And when you look at what happened back there with a strong top of the ticket, Portman wins, walking away, John Kasich, who really, I mean, had many of the same attacks on him as what were leveled against Ken Buck, being an extremist. He was pro-life. He was a noted conservative. He'd written books about how his Christian faith affects his life and things along those lines. But they couldn't quite make him out to be the mean-spirited guy that nobody likes. And I'm really afraid that they were successful in doing that with Ken Buck, which is a crying shame because he's a nice fellow. He isn't mean-spirited by any stretch of anybody's imagination. But they took some of the things that he said, and that put just enough doubt, I believe, into just enough people's minds that cost him the race here in Colorado. And I think that along with the governor's race going down ticket, probably cost unaffiliated votes to even to Walker Stapleton and to my state Senate candidates and state House candidates.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting to see Scott Gessler win as well. You know, I don't think there was ever any doubt about John Suthers, but, you know, when for Scott Gessler to knock off Bernie Busher, neither one of them has very high name recognition, but you'd have to say Busher's was higher. And it was, or at least going into the campaign, and yet Ken Buck loses. Kind of remarkable. And I think, again, I mean, knowing Angela's politics, for it to be difficult to vote for a pro-life Christian conservative to vote for Ken Buck says a lot about the guy, and none of it good, really. Joshua?
Yeah, I think all of this is the margin between Buck winning and losing, but I think it misses something else, which is that there was no reason for all of these races to be so close to begin with. Not no reason. There's something else going on, which is why sort of the general Republican level was lower and the general Democrat level was higher. That Walker's race was very close. That Scott's race was closer than it should have been, and I think some of that has to do with at least part of this. You know, we're talking about the polling. The Republicans did a good job of turning out Republicans, but I think the Democrats did a good job of identifying and turning out unaffiliated voters who were friendly to them. And I think that's something that we didn't do quite as good a job of, or didn't do a very good job of, was finding friendly, unaffiliated voters and turning them out. And I think that's something that strategically we're going to have to look at if there's a way of doing that better.
Well, we got about 15 seconds left in this segment. And in my previous career, which I never had as an elementary school teacher, I used to tell kids who were passing notes around that the note had to be read to the class. So I just saw a note passed. Greg, why don't you just tell the class what was in the note you just received?
my brilliant wife, who is a great canary in the coal mine, pointed out that Ken could not stay on message of jobs in the economy. He would get sidetracked by clever interviewers who would get him talking about homosexual issues or life issues or things along those lines. And then ultimately also it was the mean-spirited note where Ken Buck suggested that the poor lady in Greeley who was accusing someone of raping her might have had buyer's remorse. And we don't know what the context of that conversation was, but it made him come across as a little bit mean-spirited.
When we come back after this break, we're going to be joined by John Dennis, who ran for Congress against Nancy Pelosi out in California. It's going to be a most interesting conversation. Stay with us right here on Backbone Radio on News Talk 710 KNUS and 1460 KZNT in Colorado Springs. We'll be right back.